One of the great challenges for most of us is how to be attractive. We're all attractive to some degree, but we want to be more attractive. And so the first thing we need to remember is that we are attractive. Literally, figuratively, energetically, and every other way, we are attractive. And if we want to be more attractive, the first ingredient that we need is to want to be more attractive. So once we make a decision that we want to be more attractive, everything else can open up and start to flow from that point. We don't often use the word attractive in certain ways, and in other situations we use it all the time. So let me just give a context or a background to what it is I'm talking about. We attract our clothing. Everything that we happen to be wearing right now, we have attracted. That's not normally how we describe it, but that's the reality. We've attracted these hairstyles. We've seen lots and lots of different hairstyles over the course of our lives, and at this moment, based upon our physical structure, age, and so on, we've attracted a particular type of hairstyle. I think it's safe to say that because everything is energy, and more specifically, everything is electromagnetic energy, everything is attractive. Even, and most importantly, the conditions of our lives have been attracted by us. Now, if we can adopt that, the point of view that we're going to consider whether that is true or not, we'll be able to evaluate it as we go along, and even after this talk is over, you can consider it. And if it doesn't fit your frame of reality, you can discard it. But the conditions of our lives have been attracted. We have attracted those conditions. So, what do I mean by that? We all recognize from our experiences what a magnet is. We've seen those as children, we've seen them in elementary school, we've seen them in later times. So the idea of a magnet is it's some kind of a magical device, usually what feels like a piece of metal, that attracts certain things to it. So if we had two magnets, we literally could take those things and we would notice, if we held them in a certain way, that they would be attracted to one another very powerfully and they would be pulled together. Interestingly enough and fascinatingly is if we turned one of those magnets and then tried to put them together, we would recognize that they were rejecting or repelling one another. So one side of the magnet, one end of the magnet, is going to be attractive to another end of the magnet, but not the same one. So we've recognized that, we've played with that idea. So you can look at a magnet and say, one way it's used is to attract, and one way it repels. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. But what I'm talking about today is, in fact, electromagnetism in our lives on a spiritual, mental, emotional, and then ultimately physical way. And I'm not really talking about, oh, he's very attractive. That's a very attractive man, or that's a very attractive woman. Look at her hairdo or her eyebrows or that chic bag that she's carrying. I'm not talking about clothing and noses and body shapes and makeup and things of that sort. I'm really talking about the energy that we use in order to create the lives that we want. So, why be attractive? Why do we want to be attractive? Well, if attraction in an electromagnetic universe, which is what we find ourselves in, is the way to pull things to us, to attract things to us, to draw things to us, to call forth things to us that we want, it'd be nice to understand how that works so that we can use this natural law of attraction to create what we want. But why don't we create what we want? Why do we shy away from being attractive? Well, a variety of reasons. A lot of it has to do with the way we've been trained, the way we've been coached as we have grown up. There's the idea that we're attractive, that is, if we are working on our physical appearance, we've been encouraged at times to avoid doing things like that because we'll be conceited, we'll be self-absorbed, that sort of thing, too self-centered. Or if we do things like that, we might draw to us things that we do not want. So we have been trained, and I believe mistrained, to believe that we don't control what we attract. I believe we control what we attract by the way we think and by the way we feel. So if you've ever heard one of these things that has caused us to turn down the power of our attraction, and if you think of the power of our attraction, then there are a lot of different ways that's described in a person's life. But, you know, if I were thinking of an electromagnetic circumstance, like in a science lab, for instance, as an elementary school child, I've got a battery that is producing electricity, I've got a nail stuck in a board, and I've got copper wire wrapped tightly around that nail. And when I connect one end and then the other to the two terminals of that dry cell battery, I have created a magnet. That magnet will attract metal. Iron filings are typically what we use. And you'd say, how powerful is the magnet? The power of the magnet is determined by the power of the electricity circulating through the system, through the wire. Now, if it's a dry cell battery, that's not going to be powerful enough to shock us. But if it were an extremely powerful electrical source, then it could be an extremely powerful electromagnet. If you think of yourself, and I happen to be standing, as that nail in the board, my feet are on the ground, and I'm standing, what is circulating through me, that power, we refer to as life force, we refer to it as spirit, we refer to it as passion, and other words. And so when you really think of this energy that we're willing to experience, that determines how powerful we are as a magnetic influence. Now, some of the reasons we try to dampen that power, we turn down that power of attraction. Have you ever heard this? Don't get too excited. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. And other encouragements that are really seeking to help us avoid or prevent disappointment by not wanting what we want. Oh, you better reduce what you want to something much more manageable, much less optimistic, much less dramatic. Choose something else. And then for some of us, we've learned over the course of our lives through these experiences of reaching high but then failing at one point or another, that no matter what I do, we generalize that one concept, no matter what I do, I can't have what I want. And in order to avoid the pain of disappointment and failing to get my expectations, I'm going to try to hold back what I want. I'm going to reduce what I want out of life and what I'm willing to invest my energy in. And it's those kind of things that we're doing and other people have coached us to do to protect ourselves. Turn down your natural flow of energy, of your passion, of your excitement, of your natural attraction in order to protect yourself from disappointment, hurt, and then other things. What other things? Jealousy. Other people not liking you because you're so attractive. And that list goes on and on and on. Kind of interesting to be able to think of stuff like that. If we've had experiences in which we have attracted attention that we wish we didn't attract, and everybody has experienced that, some more than others, some more dramatically than others. But if we're doing something naughty as little children, it's like, oh, how do I get away with this? by not attracting attention, by not being noticed. So if I were a lineup of potential cookie criminals, you know, each one of us has got chocolate chip smudges on our face, I'm going to try to look the most innocent I can in order to not be picked out of that lineup as a guilty guy who ate the cookies. Adults do the same thing. And so we're looking to avoid this attention. We don't want to attract attention. You know, if we're driving down the highway within a group of, say, 10 or 12, 15 cars, all of us going over the speed limit, and then we see a police car, all of a sudden we are trying our best to become invisible. We want to turn off any kind of energy flow that might make us noticeable to the police officer. So if he were to pull out from his position of those 10 or 12 cars, he won't be selecting ours to give a ticket to. And you can go, okay. This being able to modulate this attraction is really important. One of the most interesting examples to me from some of the spiritual research projects that I've been interested in developing, and which are now in effect, actually, is the idea from an adverse childhood experience study in California done by Kaiser Permanente along with assistance by the Centers for Disease Control. And what caused this adverse childhood experience study to occur was when several people dropped out of a weight loss program despite the fact that they were very successful. In the case of the woman who now started to lose weight and she started to become attractive. And for her, being attractive was to be vulnerable, was to be prey for predators. She had past experiences of sexual abuse in which she obviously attracted somebody that she wished she hadn't been attractive to, and as a result of that, had been traumatized by it, put on a lot of weight as a defense to prevent being attractive energetically, physically, and in other ways. And so now, as she started to lose weight, she recognized that people were paying attention to her. She was attracting attention, and it re-stimulated those past experiences, those past fears, and all of a sudden, she said, I've had enough of this, and she dropped out of the weight loss program. So here's an experience where a person was attractive and wished she had not been attractive. And the person who gets caught doing something, the cookie thief, if you will, wishes he hadn't been attractive to the person looking for the cookie thief. And so this whole idea of, I can't control what and who I attract is not actually true. Lots of people believe that to be true, and so, you know, the idea is don't flaunt your wealth. And the question is, why? And the answer is because if people see you're wealthy, besides the potential for jealousy and resentment, people who want to be robbers go, well, you know, if I'm going to rob anybody, I'd just as soon rob somebody who's got money as compared to rob somebody who is poor. But I don't think that that person recognizes that the attraction is not the money, but in fact, it's the energy. The energy of their belief systems, it is their spiritual, mental, emotional energy, rather than greenbacks, if you will, or euros, or any other form of hard cash, that's the problem. It is the energy of attraction that we have control over through our thinking and our feeling. It seems to me that we could simplify a lot of things if we were to look at ourselves as being kind of two choices here. One choice is to be attractive as a way to get our needs and our wants met. We attract the solution to problems. The other point of view, diametrically opposed, is to be rejective. That is to be opposed, to fight what we don't want, to battle the problem. And so that either we attract or we reject seems to me to be our two fundamental choices. And if you were to look at it and consider it as a possible fork in the road, so imagine walking up to a fork in the road, you know, and it's got the big signs, right? And both of them are labeled how to get what you want and need. And then on the sub sign on one says attraction. And the sub sign on the other fork says rejection. And you go, reject him, rejection, what should I do? And the other, attractive, what does that mean? So if you were to look at the side or the fork labeled rejective, being in opposition, being resistive, being against, all of a sudden it becomes clear in your conversations, not only with other people, but I'll bet your self-talk is being opposed to stuff. Being opposed to stuff. There's a lot of things going on politically in the United States now that makes it very difficult to snap into that rejective point of view. It's like, wow, man, I'm really opposed to those guys. I'm against them. I don't like them. I'd like to increase the distance between me and them. All of those kind of thinking is what I'm talking about here. So if I were to look at this road, both sides, rejective and attractive, how else could I describe it? Well, I could call attractive connecting. I want to connect. Or the other, rejecting. I want to reject. I'm either for something or I'm against something. I'm either positive or I'm negative. I'm appreciative of something or I'm disapproving of something else. I want to bring things closer to me, and you can hear attraction in that statement, or I want to push them further away, and you can hear rejection in that statement, and it goes on and on and on. Seems very clear when we start to listen to ourselves and listen to other people whether they are attractive or rejective. I'll bet if you watch 6 o'clock news, those sorts of things, which I do not do, you're going to be able to screen people through that filter. Are they attracting or are they rejecting? Are they trying to connect to somebody or are they trying to push somebody away? And oftentimes you're going to hear the languaging of that is being rejection. They're going to be pushing it away. Here's the real problem that people don't understand, that we reap what we sow. Now, that's really easy to understand. We reap what we sow. If I were a farmer, you go, oh, if I plant tomatoes, I'm going to reap tomatoes. No questions in my mind about that process. If I plant potatoes, I'm going to reap potatoes. Okay, clear enough. But what the rest of us don't understand is we're doing the same thing, but we're not planting tomatoes or potatoes. We're planting using the vibration of our thoughts and our feelings. If we plant seeds of rejection, we are actually attracting rejection. We are going to get a harvest of whatever it is we're planting. So that path labeled rejective doesn't work. It's a painful, long, difficult path that is going to ultimately bring us right back to where we needed to be in the very first place. We're going to arrive, no, bend down that road. That does not work. That low road of rejection, being against things, being oppositional, being resisting, just gets me more of what I don't want. This whole idea of being attractive is to get me more of what I want and what I need, not less of what I want and less of what I need. And if we think back in terms of Job in the Bible, and I'm no Bible-oriented guy, but if I were to paraphrase, didn't Job say something to this effect? I attracted what I didn't want. And how did he do that? He did it with the energy of his worries, of his fears. And that circulating through his magnetic field, worry about this, worry about that, fear this, fear that, not like that, didn't want that, didn't want that, boom, all of a sudden it shows up in his physical experience. Like, whoa, that's not what I had in mind. That's how it works. The law of cause and effect, that is, we reap what we sow, is inviolate. It happens every single time, all the time. The distance in terms of time and space between when we sow and when we reap is an unknown. That changes from circumstance to circumstance, just like reproduction. Reproduction of a human being basically takes a period of about 9 months. Reproduction in an elephant takes much longer. Reproduction in other animals takes a much shorter period of time. In plants, it takes a shorter period of time, and so on. So that time between the sowing and the reaping can vary, but not the fact that if we sow, we're going to reap. That does not vary. And when we understand what we're putting out energetically is going to come back to us, we would go, well, I certainly don't want to put out rejection because I want high vibration things coming back to me. Exactly. We wouldn't go out into the field, and no farmer would do this deliberately, go out into the field and plant weeds that he did not want. Wouldn't do that. And so we, using our thoughts and our feelings, have that opportunity. It's wonderful on the one hand, but if it's misused, it's not quite so wonderful for us to be able to do the planting of things we do not want that are going to come back to us. So, how do we become more attractive? We practice seeing things as attractive. That is, if we can increase our appreciation for what we're putting our attention on, our vibration of attention goes higher and higher. So we are appreciative, we're compassionate, we're accepting, we're lighthearted about things that we see. We understand that everything is a natural energetic flow based upon consciousness of the people participating. And we would go, we wouldn't expect a kitten or a puppy to be a rocket scientist because we understand that they don't have that awareness. But we sometimes hold other people to standards like that, and unfairly so, because if they have that awareness, they'll be demonstrating it. If they don't have that awareness, they won't be demonstrating it. We can hold a model for them to grow to reach to, so they can attract this experience, because that's really an important part of being alive, because we want to grow. We want to grow to be more, not only physically and financially and in terms of love and relationships, but spiritually, mentally, and emotionally as well. So this idea that you and I can learn how and practice appreciation for what we're dealing with. So when we look around and marvel at the wonders of the world, be it a flower growing or a raindrop falling or a cloud in the sky or any number of things where we live or are traveling, as we increase our appreciation and take our eyes and attention off the things that we would be disapproving of, disapproving is rejective. And unless we want to grow and harvest rejection and disapproval from other people or ourselves, we're not going to want to plant more seeds of that sort. So as we look around and work on appreciating whatever it is we happen to have our attention on, we become more skilled at it. And one of the instantaneous harvests that we're going to experience is when we put our higher vibration attention and intention on any one thing, it instantly feels better. There's very little time that it exists between that sowing and that reaping. Instantaneously, we feel better. It feels better to be kind to somebody than it does to be hateful. And we don't have to wait days, weeks, or months before we feel good about it. We will feel good right away. And you go, this is a good navigational system. It feels good. I'm going to continue doing it. Not from a self-centered standpoint, but it feels good to be an instrument of flow of divine flow of kindness, of goodness, of love, of compassion, of generosity, of charity. It feels good to be that way. And when we have an opportunity and we take that, we're making ourselves more attractive, which really is the name of the game. We want to grow more of positive things in our lives, the things that we want, the things that we need, the things that are going to help us grow on these spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical levels. And as we practice that, that's exactly what will be happening. I had a friend in San Diego named Janice Marie. Janice used to teach couples workshops, and I can recall in one of her workshops that she said in a very simple fashion that men want appreciation, women want security. And then she went on and described that if women would provide appreciation to their man, they were apt to get anything and everything that they wanted. And men, if they would take pains or make efforts to provide a sense of security to their women, then they too would get everything that they wanted out of that relationship. So it's almost this idea that if you invest energy of appreciation as a woman into your relationship, you are going to be more attractive to the things that you want, more attractive to that person, more attractive all the way around. And you can attract what it is you want. Men, by providing a sense of security, become more attractive as mates, as husbands, as boyfriends, because now all of a sudden this level of safety and security that's being provided makes the man much more attractive. And so you would say, wow, I was really focused on, you know, plucking my eyebrows or wearing the nicest new suit I could imagine to be attractive. It's like, no, 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 no. Our attraction is directly related to the energy that we're flowing to other people and other things. I don't know if you've heard this as an expression. I've heard it in multiple families. The advice of, say, the grandmotherly type person in the family is, watch how that boy or that man relates to an animal, and then you'll know how he will relate to other people. Or watch how that person relates to his mother or her father, and then you'll know how they're going to relate later on. And to be able to, are they attractive or are they rejective? And we've all heard that expression, you know, a leopard doesn't change its spots. So if you see these behaviors, then unless that person has a lot of willpower and a willingness and a want to change and become more attractive, they're going to adopt that strategy of using rejection to get what they want. And it doesn't pay off. It doesn't work, because rejection is exactly that, pushing away. So people say, gee, I'm not getting what I want. It's like, why is that? Bad luck or man in the moon or other people's faults? No, no. Energetically, magnetically, when we're rejective, we push away. We push away what we want and we attract what we don't want, because that's what we've been putting out. The seeds we've been sowing are seeds that we don't want, and it is a trap unless we become aware of exactly what it is we're doing. As we look and pay attention to our self-talk, whether we're attractive, accepting, kind, generous to ourselves, or whether we're disapproving, non-accepting, rejective of ourselves, we're going to get more of it. The key to this, and I say to clients all the time, I recommend that you go on a high self-approval diet, because energetically, electromagnetically, if you approve of you, if you approve of you, if you approve of you, and you could just imagine this swirling tornado of energy around you, approving me, I approve me, I approve me. And I'm not talking about affirmations. I'm talking about the reality of that energetic vibrational feeling. If you vibrate energetically that you approve of you as a human being, doesn't mean you're the coolest person on the planet. You don't have to be in pride. You're human, so you've got a whole lot of facets to you, some more attractive than the other. However, you'll accept that and you'll grow. And as you see yourself in that light, as you see yourself as attractive and are willing to see other people as attractive, all kinds of wonderful things are happening. If you're not willing to see yourself as attractive, it becomes much more difficult for you to see other people as attractive. Because when you look at somebody else who's attractive, you're going to get bad feelings, because inevitably we tend to compare ourselves to other people. And it's like, oh, he's more or she's more and I'm less. Boom. That doesn't bode well. We'll have a lot of bad feelings out of that. So this idea of focusing on somebody and finding attractive points for them is really the name of the game in terms of relationship building. It's the name of the game in farming. You go out and you don't water the weeds, you water the plants. You water the things that you want to grow. You put your attention on what you want more of. You fertilize the characteristics, the thing that you want to grow more bountifully. A lot of people spend their time trying to squash what they don't want. I call that watering the weeds, because it's not like plucking the weeds. That doesn't work, because as we give our attention to what we don't want, more sprout up. So if you've got a relationship going in which there are characteristics, let's say there are 100 characteristics of the person you're in a relationship with, and you go, okay, I've got 100 characteristics, and they have 100 characteristics regarding me that they have on a checklist. You look at that checklist, or you can do this mentally, you can actually do it with a checklist. You can look at it and say, what do I want more of? What do I want more of? That's an attractive question. That's an attractive point of view. What we do too often, though, is to look at this list of 100 and go, I want less of this one. Oh, 89, I got to get rid of this one. And 72, I hate that one. I see 72. And now all of a sudden we're focusing on the things that we don't want, we get more of. And you can imagine if you're looking at a male that you're in relationship with, they've got 100 characteristics, and you point out that you don't like 72 and you don't like 89 on your list and a whole bunch of others, you're going to go, wait a minute, that does not sound like I paid attention to Janice Marie's advice that a man wants appreciation. You go down to a list of 100 things. Even if you had said to that person, you know, you got 90 things I absolutely love, but let me tell you about the 10. That person basically is not even going to hear the 90, only going to hear the 10. Humans are like that. We're going to hear the threat to our identity, the threat to our self-esteem. And when we are in relationship with somebody who is a threat to our identity, a threat to our self-esteem, they are not attractive to us. And we will quickly start building walls between us, and we won't be attractive to them either. So this idea that we can focus our attention, our energy, on those characteristics that we like, we love, it's a whole different ball game. This is a subtle idea sometimes, and it seems like a lot of us operate by it, but we don't actually recognize what's happening. Years ago, I lived in Manhattan. Before I moved into Manhattan, I was really looking forward to it. When I moved into Manhattan from Long Island, 99.9% of everything I saw or heard or felt or sensed, I absolutely loved. 11.5 years later, I'm about to move to San Diego, California, and I recognized at that point that just about 99.9% of everything that I saw or heard or sensed about Manhattan, I didn't like. And of course, back then, I thought, man, oh man, has Manhattan changed? It went from this extremely high rating of 99 thumbs up, if you will, to 99 thumbs down. Wow, what a dramatic change in 11.5 years. It wasn't until sometime later in California that I realized Manhattan may have changed a little, but it not that dramatically. What had happened is I changed from my habit of appreciation. I looked at that list of 100 items, if you will, and instead of looking for the things that I loved about it, I started to focus on the things I didn't like about it, and the things grew in significance, and they moved up the list as being really, really important, when, frankly, they were insignificant, ultimately. In hindsight, I recognize that. Is we start putting our attention on what we don't like, what we don't like, what we don't want, what we resist, what we find disagreeable, what we find offensive, and on and on and on and on. Now, all of a sudden, when we start looking at anything, it's like, gee, I can't see any good. No kidding. No kidding. It's like having a million bugs splattered on the windshield. How can you see anything good? You can only see mess or bad or things that you disapprove of. Like, ah, very easy to fall into that trap. Being attractive is really a result of finding things attractive. And if you don't find things attractive, if you don't find things exciting, if you don't find things capable of being appreciated, if you can't find things likable or interesting or fascinating, it's not that the things are not those ways. It's the fact that we've stopped practicing finding them. They are that way. We just go, oh, I got to adjust the way I'm thinking. I have to adjust the way I'm feeling because these things are absolutely fascinating. They're interesting. They're wonderful. It's a great variety and da-da-da-da-da, on and on and on. We can literally start focusing our attention to find things to be attractive. And as we do that, the magnetism that we've got circulating in our fields, you can imagine that tornado, that cyclone of energy again, now all of a sudden is pulling in things that we desire. Not things that we fear, but things that we desire. Things that we want, the opportunity to be useful, to help people to grow, to nourish them, to help them heal, to help protect them, to help fulfill their need. And if we're not doing that sort of thing, we're pretty much not engaged in the economy, or in life for that matter. Because it is those energetic exchanges, those relationships in which we share energy that makes other people grow, feel better, feel appreciated, feel secure, feel loved, and they're being willing to modulate their own energy in their own fields to become more attractive because they're not afraid of us. Because, number one, we're interested in being loving and lovable as compared to dangerous and threatening and primitive in our efforts to get what we want. Being attractive pulls things together constructively, lovingly, in a high vibration sort of way that builds our bodies, makes our bodies so much healthier as compared to being rejective. When we're rejective in lots of areas of our lives, then all of a sudden that vibration is communicated to the cells of our bodies, and instead of communicating effectively, sending signals back and forth, working together harmoniously, now all of a sudden there's rejection going on in the body. I am firmly convinced that most of the diseases in the world, certainly in Western culture, are rejection based. The solution is to be attractive. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 of Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we should be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.